And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Take it over.
Okay, we are back again in downtown glamorous Sunland. On CRNTalk.com, and we are broadcast all over the entire planet and beyond. Sitting here with Malcolm Berman and Karen Page, and we are going to try to amuse you and entertain you. That sounds like a thing from a song on an MGM movie.
Let me entertain you.
Let's do some news of the week. What's happening this week? Can money, lots of it, buy anything? Well, not in Iran. Believe it or not, Iran did execute, via hanging, one of its own billionaires. A billionaire got hung, okay? Why? For corruption in the country's banking system.
That's right.
And it involved numerous others, including officials that sold oil on the black market. This widespread corruption reached as high as Ahmadinejad, but that portion of the corruption was unproven. Okay, somehow he was able to get out of it, go unscathed. But they did hang the guy. Can you believe that? A billionaire? In this country, that would never happen. He would own the jury.
Did they tell you it was a gold rope?
They didn't say that. I didn't see that.
Did he say he was hung or he was well hung?
He was hung. Malcolm, get your mind out of the gutter. Now, I have this question for you, because, Malcolm, are you a curmudgeon? That's somebody who's always griping and complaining. A sourpuss.
It depends who you speak to. If you speak to my wife, yes.
If you are a curmudgeon, then you should try Advantame. And that is the latest FDA-approved artificial sweetener. It joins the ranks of saccharin, aspartame, cerulose, neotame, and I can't pronounce this one.
One more chemical to put in your body.
Acesulfame, potassium, whatever. Mm. And those are known as Sweeten Low, Equal, Splendor, Nutame, and Stevia. And this new thing, it's 20,000 times more powerful than sugar. So that should sweeten you up pretty good, Malcolm.
Okay, I'll order it. If anybody out there know where I can get it, please let me know.
If you can pronounce it.
Yeah, okay. You have to pronounce it first. Then you can get it. Can't pronounce it, can't get it. Now, climate change. Everybody, well, almost everybody knows that it's a proven fact, except for members of the Tea Party and some diehard Republicans. Okay?
They didn't figure out how the first Tea Party worked out.
Well, the first, that's the one, was that one in Boston?
The Boston Tea Party. Whatever. But anyway. You notice it's no more global warming. It's climate change.
Well,
that's a new preferred.
Well, according to them, it's bupkis.
Okay. Yes. Well, you can now buy insurance specifically for climate change. Well, why not? Insurance for weather contingencies has always been available, like for hurricane, tornado, and flood. And you can even get insurance now for ski areas that don't get enough snow.
Oh, my.
Okay?
Well, you can get insurance for everything except, I remember when I was living up in the hills here, and I had the El Nino was coming, and I had flood insurance. But the flood insurance only covered if it came, the water came down from the roof.
Not if it came
from below. Not if it came below. And, of course, my problem is because I live on the side of a hill, and I think I lived under a stream. And every time it really rained heavy, the water would come up under the concrete.
Oh, lovely.
I was not covered, even though I had flood insurance.
Well, did you have a canoe?
Yes.
No paddle.
No paddle.
Canoe, but no paddle.
That's the problem.
There you go. One more item for you here. And this one really, I thought this was amazing when I read it. You've heard about, you know, all of these new amateur TV shows where they, you know, show the talent and so forth. Well, do we need another one?
You mean like American Idol?
Yeah, all of those. There's so many of them on TV.
Definitely, we need another one.
Well, there's one called Rising Star. It's a hit Israeli show. And they featured the singing rabbis. All I could say is, oy vey.
Aren't those cantors? I mean,
say anything about being cantors. Well, a rabbi and a cantor is different.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean,
but did you ever
singing in synagogue? I would think it.
But did you ever see the Chabad telethon where they had the dancing rabbis?
Yeah, yeah, I did, and then I turned it off. Anyway,
and then Fiddler on the Roof, where they had the rabbis with their wine bottles on their head.
There were yes. Anyway, Aria and Gil Gatt, brothers with beards, have racked up over 1 million views with their rendition of Simon and Garfunkel's Sound of Silence.
Sound of Silence.
God, well, you're a psychic. You didn't know which one I was going to say.
Well, come
on. You should
have
known. Come on.
You know, they wrote a lot of songs. It was, you know.
That must be on the YouTube. I have to look that up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go watch it. It should be good.
Well, you have to look for that one, and you have to look for the America's Got Talent singing nun from Italy. She is rocking out in her habit. It's the funniest thing you ever saw in your life.
Before we get to our guest, Karen, you must have seen Jackie Ivanko on TV or someplace. Well, she was
Ivanko.
On the Ivanko. Okay, she was on the Memorial Day thing that they had the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she must be about 14 or 15 now.
She's practically an antique centerpiece.
I think she's 27. That was,
Well, when she allegedly started, she was like 11 or so.
Yep.
I couldn't believe the voice. And she sang these operatic numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, not only was she good, but how did she ever even learn them? They're complicated.
Her mother locked her in a room, and all she played were opera albums.
While in the womb, she did that. Okay.
Well, you know, it's marvelous. I don't know that they have on YouTube some of the, like the European things of.
I'm telling
Idol. And
it's amazing.
It's like that Susan Boyle. I think everyone knows that. You know, when she came on stage,
an extraordinary voice.
But they had some kids singing opera.
Yes.
I mean, really amazing talent.
Absolutely. That.
Well, let's get to our next talent. Do we have him?
Yeah, guest is ready.
All right.
Is it Dylan?
Who is it?
Dylan Brody.
Dylan?
Are you there?
I'm here.
Dylan.
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you fine. You're going to amuse us, aren't you?
Occasionally throughout this conversation, I have to warn you, you may hear in the background the barking of dogs.
How many?
The backup singers.
Two, that's correct. Sir Corin the Beautiful, Dog-Faced Dog, Brindle Beast of Silmar, and Lord Buckley Sweetlips, Greatest of All, Dane Mutz, the Dinosaur Slaying Dog, are very, very active today.
Listen, Dylan, I looked at your stuff on Google and so forth, and I see you're an author.
I am an author.
Can you tell us about your books?
My newest novel, Laughs Last, is possibly the work of which I am most proud in my life. It is a story of a stand-up comic and his relationship with his grandfather.
Oh, how lovely.
And thank you. It is funny, and it is sad, and it is told in nested flashbacks, and I urge everybody
I assume it's autobiographical.
It is not.
It is not. Okay, I assume it's not autobiographical.
No, it really isn't. I was a comic. I mean, there are elements of it, certainly, that come from my experience.
But it's about people who you know.
It is about people everybody knows.
Absolutely. Okay.
And really what I did is I made the grandfather the repository of all the things I wish I had been taught as I was coming up in the comedy world. So he becomes this this mentor to the young man in the book.
Well, are you still a comic or now are you just an author?
I am now a humorist and storyteller.
Oh, I love it.
Which
a lost art.
It means that, first of all, I wear cufflinks. and secondly, it means that I do not hold myself to the 4-to-1 laugh per minute ratio required of stand-up comics to get on television.
Well, do you know we're going to re-edit this show for Saturday and Sunday? We had a laugh track on it.
Well, that makes me deeply uncomfortable. I would rather work to silence than to fake laughter.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
I mean, that is so horrible what they do with some of the TV shows. You know, someone walks into a room and says, hello,
laughs.
And they have
Well, if they didn't do that, how would middle America know?
No, they should laugh.
Yeah.
Why is everyone so anti-mid America? It could be either coast also.
Well, I know what Dylan means. There's a certain section of mentality that he's talking about. Or it doesn't matter where they live.
Or non-mentality.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Actually, you know. I was talking about, I was making fun of the people on the coast because my point is the people on the coast assume that middle America wouldn't know when to laugh. And in fact, middle America is perfectly capable of knowing when to laugh.
Yeah, they don't know when to stop.
Without the help of a laugh track.
Dylan, listen, where can our listeners get your books?
They can get it at Amazon. They can get it at Barnes & Noble online. They can get it as a paperback or as a download, as a what is it called?
E-book.
A Kindle or an e-book.
Now, what books have you written? Can you rack off the names for us?
I can. Laughs Last is the most recent one. That is my first straight-ahead novel for grown-ups. My first was A Tale of a Hero and the Song of Her Sword, which is an adventure fantasy novella, really. It's a novel for young adults. I thought it was for grown-ups. It turned out to be for young adults because I'm a simpleton. And it is a something of a feminist anthem. There is a second from that same publisher under a different label called The Warm Hello, which is a science fiction novel about alien visitation and humanity.
Wait a minute, you think
striving.
We've been visited by aliens?
Do I personally?
Yes.
No.
Are you kidding? Do you think we're here by ourselves?
I didn't say that I don't think there are aliens. I don't think that I've been visited by aliens.
Oh, you personally.
You're personalizing it. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was sort of the royal we.
I see. No, I personalize everything by nature because I am a narcissist.
But a really honest narcissist.
Here's how much of a narcissist I am. Every time my wife goes into a depression or gets angry.
You think it's all about you.
I go back into therapy to find out why.
And what was the part where you don't do comedy anymore?
I am no longer a stand-up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now you're a sit-down comic?
That's correct.
Okay, checking.
I've got my feet up. I've got my pants off. I do it over the phone. It's much easier.
All right. Now, when
Too
you
much
were
information.
A comic, when you were a comic, did you do it in front of live audiences or on TV?
Or dead audiences.
There is no way to be a stand-up comic without doing it in front of live audiences. It's part of the equation. Yeah, I did. I was a heavy-duty touring road comic for about 15 years.
God bless you. That's a tough gig.
Isn't it embarrassing, all those people laughing at you?
No, it's wonderful. To me, it just feels like love.
Are you still doing that?
Barely. You know, I perform long-form stories. And, I headlined at the Throckmorton on Saturday. Recording.
Nice.
My first release is going to be coming out from Rooftop Comedy later this year, and we recorded it on Saturday. And it is the closest I have done to straight-ahead stand-up in many years.
All right. How much profanity do you use in your act?
Very little. Almost none.
Right, I have to tell you, years ago I saw...
Smart humor.
I'll mention his name. What the hell? George Carlin, who I really admired.
One of my heroes.
Mine, too.
Yet on stage, this was a live thing.
And you wear cufflinks?
He had so much profanity in his act, I kind of like lost.
Oh, you mean the seven words you can't say on television? Okay.
Whatever they were.
Anyway,
Dylan,
stay by your microphone because we're coming up to a break. You're listening to The View from Over Here, heard on CRN Digital Talk Radio and carried on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com. And you can get back shows at www.viewfromoverhere.com. And remember, there's no the. Anyway, keep listening. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Okay, we are back, aren't we? I hope so. Anyway, I'm talking. This is Stan Weisleder with Malcolm Berman and Karen Page at the studio. CRNTalk.com on The View from Over Here.
Where is the studio?
Where is the studio?
No fair, I asked you first.
Downtown glamorous Sunland. I thought I said that earlier.
I was not aware of it. Okay.
Where are you located?
I'm in Sylmar. I'm very near to Sylmar. Ah.
You are Sylmar, very near.
You're around the corner.
Well, why didn't you come in? Why are we talking to you over the phone?
I wasn't invited.
Oh, Mike, Stan.
I thought the guy was in Omaha or someplace.
No, I am at the confluence of the Mighty 118 and the Majestic 210.
Wow.
You know what? You could walk here to the studio practically.
Okay. Anyway, Dylan, next time.
No, we're going to have him come back live in the studio.
Live.
And we'll
live is good.
So we could skewer him for real.
I look forward to that with eager anticipation and bated breath.
All right, listen, Dylan, our listeners know where they can get your books. And
of course, my 5 CDs from Stand Up Records, also available at Amazon and iTunes.
Okay, that's good. And I hope you get a lot of business from this.
Are you on YouTube? Do you know?
I am all over the place on YouTube. You can find me at Dylan Brody on YouTube.
Dylan Brody on
Great.
YouTube.
Great. Okay, love look, it. We want you definitely to come back in a couple of weeks. Our schedule is crazy. But definitely, now that we know you're a neighbor, you are not going to get away from us.
I would be delighted.
Okay, great, and we'll have a seat for you with your own headset.
Wow.
And a cup of coffee, really good coffee.
And maybe we'll have
Karen
do a reading for you.
Woohoo!
I could not be happier about all of
this. All right, good.
Okay. Thanks again.
Okay, Dylan, we'll send you an email with regard to our schedule, and we'll see how yours could fit in with ours.
And a formal invitation.
I look forward to it, and I will meet you all soonly.
Thanks
Great.
Very much.
Okay,
soonly,
Dylan, you be
word.
Good. All right, Malcolm, who do we have next? Oh, yes, of course. How could I forget? We have Uncle Tad Baker, but he's really not my uncle, and I have to tell you, this guy eats raw meat, or so he says.
He sounds like my uncle.
No.
Maybe he is your uncle.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Well, he's somebody's uncle.
Ted, are you my uncle?
I'm everybody's uncle. I'm the sweet, loving uncle that you need to have.
But you eat raw meat.
I do eat raw meat. Brother, and you're going to come to my show and watch it, aren't you?
Definitely. Where and when?
Well, here's the deal. I just got back from Portland. I've been up in Portland for weeks trying to settle this show, and I'm moving it to San Francisco. Long story short, Portland's not ready for what I do. And San Francisco, the most...
Well, don't they have a lot of vegetarians in Portland?
Oh, they got vegetarians. Oh. They got everybody's PC. Everybody thinks they're all at the cutting edge. But if you touch one of their sacred cows, they throw a lawsuit at you.
Sacred cow raw meat, very good.
Well, and you may not want to do that show in India, okay?
Oh, God. Oh, listen, I'll tell you something. The last 3 years, I have been around the world looking for the right conditions to put this show on. And I'm serious. I've been to Brazil, New England, or New Zealand, Argentina, Japan, Taiwan. And Portland has been yelling and screaming to do this. And but really, my heart, I'm from San Francisco. The Loon
Beautiful
Show
city.
Is always
yeah,
in
in San Fran, you can do just about anything.
No, you can't. That's the problem. San Francisco is right. The most politically correct, closed-minded city in the planet.
You're kidding.
No, of course
so
not.
So that's
on,
where
man.
You're
that's,
taking it?
That's where it's from, and that's where I'm going back.
And that's where you're from.
That's where I'm from. And that's
you
where
got body armor?
What's that?
Do you have body armor?
Oh, I got it all set up. In fact, I can't release the location yet because we're the auditions. I'll tell you this: the auditions are going to be at Fort Mason on the water there this August.
You need armament to protect yourself.
I'm going to need all sorts of stuff because we've already got the PC police that are claiming
wow.
this show will not be seen in San Francisco. But
you have to tell us what this show is about.
Yeah, what do you need? What are people auditioning for?
They are auditioning for the most profound. Audience participation reality event on the planet.
Profound or profane?
What I mean by that, this is democracy in action. This is where you are going to get the chance to get back at the system being shoved down your throat. And all the things that are bugging you, that are oppressing you in your life, I put you and them in a theater, and I let you intermingle, and I give you soft tomatoes to have, to, let's say, to express yourself with. And
how about rotten eggs?
No, nothing like that. This is, in a sense, this is vaudeville being recreated. Back in the old days of soft tomatoes being thrown at these obnoxious people, we've always
Ted,
had...
Ted, listen, we have a break coming up.
Paul, I thought we were going to do away with this break, no? Oh, this is, okay.
All right, don't go away.
We have
about, 20 seconds left, but Ted, don't go away. You're going to finish up the show with us.
You're listening to The View from Over Here, heard on CRN Digital Talk Radio and carried on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com, and I didn't know this break is coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. They were naked. You're on.
Okay, we're back with Uncle Ted, Mr. Baker. All right, you're going to tell us about your new gig. Why don't you take the floor?
Oh, I will. It's Uncle Tad Baker's Loon Show, and there's going to be auditions in, like I say, in August at the at Fort Mason Center in San Francisco. And then in October, we've got about a month's worth of shows booked at an undisclosed location. I will be announcing that right before the shows. People who are already hooked up in my network know what's going on. But the general public, I'm kind of keeping things as low as I can because wherever I do my shows, the PC crowd jumps in there and says, we can't have this. We can't have freedom of thought. And I don't buy that. This is America. First Amendment rules here. So this is what my show is all about. This is the place where democracy actually happens.
So it's a political show.
It is not political. It can be. What I can't tell you what's going to happen on stage, because in truth, I don't know. I'm an experimental theater director of over 40 years. I've played my performances all over the planet, and I don't use scripts. I don't prognosticate. I don't lay out the movements of the show in a traditional format.
Okay, but you are going to be interviewing or auditioning all of these people. What will you be looking for when you audition them?
I am looking for the characters with a sense of abandon, characters who are articulate and can express themselves, and characters that take direction. That sounds kind of vague, I realize. I know what I'm looking for when I see it. I'm really looking for people that are not following others. And this stands out to me really easily. In other words, I'm looking for originals. I'm really, Stan and Malcolm, looking for amateurs, people who have not yet made it, who are not protecting their brand, who are still in the formative period.
Because now, is this going to be a live show on a stage? Will it be filmed, aired, TV, radio, or what?
This is a live show.
In front of a live audience?
In front of a live audience. There will be about 300 people in the audience. They will wear protective clothing. They will be searched before they enter the hall.
Yeah, I should hope so.
Oh, absolutely. And I will have...
In case they've smuggled in any of their own tomatoes.
There will be no smuggling. In previous shows, we've had problems with frozen tomatoes.
Oh, no!
Oh, golly. I've had gangs bust in. We've had all sorts of things take place. The security, that's why we haven't done the show in a few years.
What gang? An anti-tomato league? I mean, what kind of gang would come in?
You know what?
Or skinheads.
Men that like to brutalize what they perceive as weaker beings. And these guys have several times.
There are people like that, believe it or not.
Oh, brother, they're all over. Bullies are all over. And what I do in my shows
bullies,
is when I find bullies, they become the stage. They become the show. And this is the strength of Uncle Tad Baker's Loon Show is you don't know what's coming. You may think you know what's coming, but you don't.
Well, would you have your own security people there?
I was just going to ask him if he wears body armor.
I don't. I take shots myself. It's kind of fun. I've been hit a number of times. I have two levels of security. I've got people that are visible. And then I've got some people in the audience that
they your invisible friends?
What's that?
Your invisible friends.
Well, I'm always surrounded by my invisible friends. They're
just
checking.
No, wait, I have one for you. Why do they call you Uncle, or is that really part of your name?
Well, my name is Tad Baker.
Okay.
And the Uncle Tad Baker arose by mentor many years ago, labeled me that. And he said, you're Uncle Tad, you're not Tad. because I'm the good old uncle that everybody wants to have. I'm filled with interesting anecdotes and information, and the things I do excite people. So, I mean, that's what you want your uncle to be, right?
I had to ask the question because years ago I knew this kid, and this is for real, not making it up. His first name was Major.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, can you imagine a kid going into the Army? Maybe his name is Major Stephen Kennedy.
Yeah, right.
Okay?
Well, that was I don't know if you read Catch-22, Joseph Heller's book.
I saw the movie and read the book.
Major?
Yes.
His last name was Major. His mother named him Major. Then when he went to the Army, through a slip up, he became a major right away.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Major,
so it
Major,
wasn't
Major.
Because of a stutter.
No, Major, Major, Major. And then since he didn't know what was happening, he told everyone, he told his clerk, he said, "When I'm in, tell everybody that I'm out."
Yeah.
And when I'm out, they can come in.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want anybody speaking to him because he didn't know what was happening.
Well, that book, by the way, was filled with paradoxes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely stuff.
Joe Heller was actually, he went to my high school, Lincoln in Brooklyn. I had to get that plugged in.
Is that right?
He's an amazing writer.
But anyway, are you familiar with the Living Theater, Julian Beck?
Now, that's really interesting you would mention that. My mentor, Dimitris Doteris, and Julian Beck's A Living Theater were two of the biggest experimental theater outfits in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, in the 60s, I've seen, I think it's Paradise Now with...
Right.
Over at BAM, the Brooklyn Academy of Music, and I was
right. Now, I love Julian Beck and his work. I gravitate more toward Doteris and his rude, offensive, and vulgar performances. But
it's so funny. You sound like such a decent guy.
I'm a lovely man.
Okay,
and I am. I really am. I'm the sweetest guy
the
you'll ever meet.
You know, the crude and all that stuff is now like really.
Would you be a disciple of Howard Stern, like a shock jock type of thing?
Well, here's the thing: is I've been so poorly painted over the years as this racist, homophobe, sexist, all this stuff, because in my shows there is racism, homophobia, sexism. All this stuff takes place in my theater. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I am these. I'm not defined by these characters, right, or the events that take place in my theater. That's hard for the PC police to understand.
Now, you don't pull the trigger. You just load the gun.
I load the gun, and I direct the proceedings in a way that is magic, wonderful. If you've ever seen pictures from my show, you see every person in that audience smiling, enjoying. In fact, what happens, Stan and Malcolm, this is the funniest thing.
And Karen.
Karen. Hi, Karen.
Oh, hi.
What takes place in that show, when people leave, when they walk out the door, people feel cleansed. They feel like they've released something. And they feel sexually charged. People come out of that thing and they go, "Man, I got to go screw. I am turned on."
But what type of audience do you attract?
Well, the demographics, anywhere from 21 to late 40s, middle class, kind of your upper middle class group of people who are not familiar with this form of so-called comedy, crass comedy, it's been called. I don't buy that, but. We get a lot of people upwardly mobile who are curious, who want to see somebody else get hit, it's always so much more easy to watch somebody else get pummeled, and you can sit back and perceive them, if you will. What happens though in my show is you get these upwardly mobile types that suddenly get caught up, and they become the show. And that's really what I do: is I make the audience. Yeah. Become the show. And I'll tell you something very interesting. My show, when we kicked it off originally in 1990, we are the original audience participation reality event in the United States.
Right. Breaking the fourth wall.
Nothing came before us. Jerry Springer, in fact, ripped me off pretty heavily from what he saw taking place on stage. Now, what he didn't get was the thing that holds it all together. If you've seen Springer's show, for instance, you see it's confrontation. It's putting people in conflict with each other. They fight it out. The therapists come in. The security comes in, and they control things. But that's not what goes on at Uncle Tad Baker's Loon Show. And the only person on the planet who can pull off the Loon Show is me. And why is that? Because of my training, because I am a sweet, lovely, generous man. And what takes place in my show is generosity towards all. I allow the worst in humanity to come out, to be seen, to be experienced, to be felt, but to be directed. And I'm telling you, people leave my show, they've experienced all of what humanity can be, and they leave with a feeling of, the old psychologists call it catharsis, that sense of cleansing, of releasing something.
Yeah, but it also sounds like you admit and encourage nutcases to come on stage.
Loon is short for lunatic.
Absolutely.
Right?
In fact, where I'm working, I work for a place called the School of Absurdity now. Now that Soteris has died, I'm taking all his work and sticking it up on the internet. Some friends are helping me. We're calling it the School of Absurdity, and our credo is lunatics with purpose.
It's control of anarchy.
Well, it is control of anarchy. It really is.
And just think, you don't have to pay your actors
scale.
Scale. I couldn't think of the right word.
Well, I'm a cheapskate, and that's part of it as well. But how I work payment for my actors is kind of interesting. I don't really need to discuss it here, but you're compensated very well as a performer at the Loon Show.
But the question is, how much control do you have, and then how much control is taken out of your hands by what's happening? It's sort of like people get together for a purpose for protesting, and all of a sudden it turns into a riot.
Neither takes place. I have an uncanny ability to direct things away from mayhem and political posturing. If anybody stands on my stage to politically posture, they become the target. Like I started the show with today, what you get when you enter the Loon Show is the ability and the opportunity to react towards the system being shoved down your throat. People nowadays, we are so frustrated, we are so overwhelmed by all the limitations. My show allows you to react towards your particular limitation as it appears on stage.
Okay, I have to ask you a person, as a person, directly, straight to you. All of these limitations that we have, driver's license, this, that, and the other, do you personally think that they should all be eliminated, removed, or what?
No. Our society requires specific and firm limitations. I'm all for them. The problem that I have now is that we don't have really a way to interact with not only our authorities, but the system itself. We claim that we're a democratic society, and yet we really can't speak to our... I mean, you can't call up Obama and tell him your mind. You can't really interact with our authority systems, right? There just isn't much you can do. So what I try to do is allow you this space in order to do that. You may not be able to reach Obama, but we might stick Obama on stage, if you know what I mean.
Well, we've invited him to come on the show here. He never even responded to our request.
No surprise there. But this is true democracy. Democracy in a non-political sense. In other words, this is people, average people, being able to interact with the system. And the system may be a religious one, it may be economic, it may be political, whatever you are. And so, let's say one of my characters gets on stage and performs under my direction. It may not excite a third of the audience, but the next guy or girl that comes up may really touch him because she is hitting on something that they hold dear or are sick of dealing with.
So you have various characters that come aboard, that come on the stage with various opinions or personalities.
Statements, positions.
And then the audience reacts to them.
Yeah. And the focus, if you will, becomes them, the audience itself.
So, Ted, you never try to interject in your show what you believe in or what you think is the right way to go?
No. Never. But now what I do is I use conventional thinking conventional thinking, mass thought, so that we can examine it and its validity. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. A question for you. Do you have any particular religious affiliation?
None. I'm a very godly man, though. I am... I'm actually, I'll speak on this for a moment. I am a traditional Stoic of the Greek school from Corfu, Greece, which means that I am connected straight to the source of the Creator, and I don't buy into any middleman. In other words, if you were to say, Ted, are you a religious guy? No, I'm not at all.
Actually, that's Judaism. I feel I speak directly to the
when
to the
people
top guys.
When people ask me what I believe in, I just say John Lennon, but he was ahead of his time.
Well, you watch what happens with Lennon in 50, 100 years. He will be made into a prophet, right? I don't believe we'll in see. Prophets. I don't buy into middlemen. I like me and God, and everybody else can interpret it as they wish. But what I will do on stage is bring up religion and religious figures and let them interact with people.
You remind me a little of what you're talking about, like a Larry David type of letting people talk. Anyway, where can they reach you now?
Well, best way to get hold of me is to go to Uncle Tad. Just write me at UncleTadBaker@gmail.com.
Okay, because we have to go now. We're coming up to a break. But thank you very much. And let us know when your show is on.
I will give you a PSA as soon as possible, and I hope to come on in the fall to promote the heck out of the location.
Okay, we'll love to have you.
Tell us when you will be back here.
Oh, outstanding. Stan, Malcolm, and Karen, thank you so much for your time.
Okay,
really
Uncle Tad. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to The View from Over Here, heard on CRN Digital Talk Radio and carried on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com. And you can reach us at www. That's all, three W's?
Three W's.
Viewfromoverhere.com. Don't put the in. View from Over Here. And we'll be back in a few minutes to wrap up our show.
Okay, we are here to close out the festivities. Before we wrap it up, I just want to make a brief announcement that the Riviera Restaurant in Calabasas is becoming one of our sponsors. And it's amazing because they are so good, they don't even need a commercial.
Don't say that. Everybody needs commercials.
Anyway,
if they don't have business, they need business.
Oh, they have a lot of business.
And if they have a reservation, you can't get reservations. It's perfect.
They just want more. That's all.
Anyway, we're also here to Karen. What did you want to promote?
Karen,
your book.
Well, promote and make a prediction about where we're headed.
Okay,
Karen, go ahead.
Well, you mean after the parking lot? Okay.
We need a drum roll for that one.
Well,
but anyway,
thank you, Bada Bing. She's here through Thursday, folks. They can reach me through my website at KarenPage.com. I was going to do EleanorRoosevelt.com, but it would have been way too complicated to explain to people. You know, so I think KarenPage.com was easier.
P-A-G-E, right?
P-A-G-E. And I have a book out, and it's called My Life Across the Table.
And it's fascinating. I read it.
Oh, thank you. Stories from a Psychic's Life. And it's available on every format. It's at Amazon, and you can get it on Kindle and at Barnes & Noble and literally every format and in audio.
Can you get it on Crystal Ball?
But you don't have to go into a trance like Casey.
No. I read actually literally just like I talk. It is. I have clients for 40 years that wouldn't know me if they were standing next to me at the supermarket. And I still read for them, and I read for their grown kids as well.
Well, from my brief knowledge of you, it's sort of like you get a feeling when people pass by or you mention a name, all of a sudden...
Oh,
some
it's
images
clear as
come
a bell
up.
To me because a person's and I always it's funny when I do phone readings. If somebody I've already talked to them, I'll tell them, you know, email me pictures of anybody you want to know, and I don't care if it's them when they were on a bearskin rug and now they're 80. It doesn't matter because a person's character never changes.
I just got the image of the bloodhound.
Isn't that hilarious?
You sniff.
In fact, that picture on the bearskin rug, I'm thinking of putting it on my LinkedIn page.
You know, you would get a lot of hits on that.
Yeah, but
viral.
But you have gray hair with on the bearskin rug.
In fact, I'm going to look for it when I get back to the house.
Yep. But everybody, you know, I think part of the reason I just love my work is everybody's life is different. I've lived all over the world. I have clients from all over the world. And no two people's lives are the same.
Right.
I mean, in any way.
Well, actually, sometimes when I think about my life per se, I realize that I'm the only one that has my experience.
Yes.
And my life.
Yes.
You know, what makes me unique.
It's the same with everyone.
But most people don't understand that.
Anyway, guys, we'll have to continue the conversation because we're... bad out of time now. Stan, who do we have on next week?
Next week on, we have Robert Hooks and Lori Marlowe, and we will be getting a call in from Theodore Bickel.
Yeah,
wow.
He's been around for quite a while. Very talented
yeah,
man.
Yeah, the guy's
amazing.
90 years old.
90?
90, yeah.
He's just starting out.
Well, he's a kid.
It seems like his second career is beginning
amazing.
Now.
It is amazing. Great gift.
Anyway, that's next week. If you want to hear any parts of our show, it's www.viewfromoverhere.com. You can contact us. We have all our email information on there. And we'll be back next week. You're listening to The View From Over Here, heard on CRN Digital Talk Radio and carried on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com. And we'll let
and
you
well,
out.
Well, wait a minute. If they want to hear all this stuff again, they can tune us in on Saturday at 1 o'clock and Sunday at 5 o'clock Pacific time.
Pacific Daylight Time.
Yes. Yay.
Anyway, guys, have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Or
The View From Over Here is a co-production of Infinity X and TBG International. For further information, contact Malcolm Berman at 818-687-2784. That's 818-687-2784.